You can begin taking your Bibles this morning, if you will, and be finding Matthew, the 13th chapter. And today we're going to be concluding our series of messages on the mystery parables. And again, the key to understanding these parables, friends, is to remember that Jesus is not sharing these parables with the crowd. He is speaking privately to his disciples. And so he said to them in Matthew 13 and 11, it's not given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to you it is given. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, it became apparent that the kingdom of heaven was not going to be ushered in at that time. And God's prophets had foretold for centuries of the coming of a suffering servant, one who would come, one who would die for the sins of mankind. But you'll remember that Jesus had told the disciples to go out. He'd sent them out two by two to go out and preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Even Jesus himself, as he was teaching, would say, the kingdom is near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the disciples began to wonder, now wait a minute, what's going to happen to the kingdom that we've been preaching about? And our Lord gave his disciples these seven mystery parables to reveal the condition of the kingdom of heaven in this present age and in the age to come. We all know that when Jesus Christ comes at his second coming, he is coming as the King of Kings. He's coming as the Lord of Lords, and he's coming in the clouds, and oh, what a great day that is going to be. Well, I want to share with you this morning that this final parable looks beyond the rapture of the church, and it looks to the end of the age when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and sets up his millennial kingdom here upon this earth. Please rise with me this morning as we honor our Lord with the reading of his word, Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to begin in verse 47. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? And they say unto him, yea, Lord. Then he said unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer this morning? Oh Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful day in which you have given us to gather here in the house of the living God. Oh, Father, I pray this morning that each one of us has thought about this appointment with you this morning, that, Lord, we did not allow the busyness of our schedules to keep us from that which is most important, the preparation of our hearts. Lord, I pray that we have spent time this morning in prayer, praying for the message to come, praying for the one who would bring it, praying for those who would sit to our right, those who would sit to our left, those who would sit before us and those who would sit behind us and those who would be joining us online. Lord, I pray that our hearts are prepared that we might receive. Lord, I pray that the soil of our heart has been prepared and that your word will go in and do what it can do, that we might have the blessing of Almighty God upon our lives and in our families and in our church and in our community, our state, and our nation once again. Lord, help us this morning. Help us to learn. Help us to grow. Help us to be disciples. Help us to be disciples who discover truth, who do the truth, and then go out and dispense the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. When the Lord Jesus was getting ready to ascend up into heaven, he gave a very important commandment to his disciples and to us today. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, they knew, and we know by our own experiences in this present world, that the preaching of the gospel, it does not convert the whole world. Oh, we wish that it would. We wish that the preaching of the gospel would, but it does not. What the preaching of the gospel does, Jesus says here, is it acts like a huge dragnet that gathers all kinds of fishes, some good and some bad. Well, if you're a good fish this morning, stand up. You mean to tell me I've got a congregation full of bad fish? Whoo! The professing church today has in it both true and false believers. It has within it today both good and bad. And it reminds us, Jesus is simply reminding the disciples about the four soils of the heart, about the wheat and the tares. And so the Lord Jesus says, at the end of the age, God will separate the good from the bad. Now, twice in this series of parables, Jesus has used the words, at the end of the age, verse 39 and verse 49. And understand, he is not referring to the end of the church age. The truth of the church age, you see, was not shared with the disciples until we come to Matthew 16, when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And some say, well, you're Jeremiah, others believe you're somebody else. But Peter proclaims, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, what did Jesus say? Upon this truth I will build my church. So at this point here, it's not been revealed. The church age hasn't been revealed. And so the age that our Lord Jesus Christ is referring to here is the Jewish age at the close of the Great Tribulation period. And again, we're looking today beyond our present age, beyond the age of the rapture of the church, to that time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes all the way to this earth to set up his millennial kingdom. Let's not get the rapture of the church and the second coming confused. At the rapture of the church, the shout comes and the church rises to meet the Lord in the air. Jesus Christ does not come all the way to this earth. And the reason the church meets the Lord in the air is because God has saved us from the wrath to come. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? No matter how bad it gets, you're going up. Hallelujah, we're going to the glory. But if you're not saved this morning, hear me, if you're not saved this morning, you could be looking at going into the Great Tribulation. What you need to understand is there's no prophecy left to be fulfilled for the church to be called heavenward. We could go in any moment. What then? The tribulation. That time when God pours out his anger and wrath on mankind. And so if you're a wise person today, you know, what's a good reason to want to go home to heaven? I think a good reason to want to go home to heaven is so I don't have to face the anger and wrath of God. What about it? And so I hope that if you're not saved, you might say, today I need to get saved, and I hope God speaks to your heart. Because, friend, if God doesn't speak to your heart, you can't be saved no matter what you do. God's got to touch you. No preacher can touch you. No preacher can convict you. Only the Holy Spirit can bring conviction. Only the Holy Spirit can bring salvation. But the Lord Jesus Christ is going to one day come. all the way to this earth. He's going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives, and he's going to set up his millennial kingdom. And that's what we're talking about this morning, to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes all the way to the earth at the last battle and fights the battle of Armageddon. And at that point in time, he's going to separate the believers from the unbelievers that are already here on the earth. These are the people who are living, who came to salvation through in Jesus Christ through the preaching of the 144,000 Jewish witnesses that we read about in the book of Revelation, 12,000 from every tribe. These believers are not a part of the church, because the church went up to heaven at the rapture. And they're not, they're part of Israel, not a part of Israel either. They are Gentiles who will be dealt with in righteousness. The saved are going to enter into the kingdom of God, but the unsaved, they're going to be cast into the furnace of fire. Now, when the Lord Jesus had completed these parables, he asked his disciples, you see it there in verse 51, if they understood them. You see, whenever you read Scripture, you ought to ask yourself this question: have I understood what God has said to me? And they're having an audience with Jesus. Jesus has given seven mystery parables, one right after another. And then he looks those boys square in the face, eye to eye, and says, have you understood these things? And they confidently reply, you see it there, verse 51, yea, Lord. Why the question? Because understanding implies responsibility. To further remind them and explain to them their responsibilities, and by the way, we have these same responsibilities right now today. If you are a child of God, you have these same responsibilities. But Jesus says, verse 52, then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Well, there's three things that are very applicable to you and us in this day in which we're living. And the first is, we must be scribes who discover the truth. The scribes began as a noble group under Ezra in the Old Testament, under his leadership. And their purpose was to preserve the law, to study it, and apply its truth to their daily lives. But over the years, however, their noble cause had degenerated into a man-made traditions and man-made interpretations, and what they did is they were adding burdens to the people's lives. And Jesus said regarding this, he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. Jesus is simply saying to these, listen, you have become so wrapped up in the past that you're ignoring the present.
Well, that's a good question for the church today. Have we become so wrapped up in our past that we are ignoring the present? Instead of sharing living truth from God's holy word, they were merchandising dead doctrines and embalming traditions that could not help people. As believers, we do not have to search after truth because we have the truth in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Lord but by me." You see, if you want to know truth in this world today, don't look out at what the world is doing. You look up and you see Jesus Christ. Amen? And we have the truth here in God's Word. Listen, you ain't going to find any truth on Fox News. You're not going to find it on Facebook. You're not going to find it in any other social media junk. You're going to find truth when you get into God's Word. What you find in all that other stuff is man's opinion, and that's all you're going to find. Now, a man might have a shred of truth, but he ain't the truth. This is the truth. And God's Word tells us what's going on in our world today. And so you need to be in the truth. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth." You know, you don't have to look far, do you, to find truth? All you got to do is open the Holy Bible. There's all the truth you're ever going to need. And then we're taught by the Spirit of truth. And the Bible teaches, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is come, He will guide you unto all truth. Without a doubt today, every one of these families, all of us, and anybody watching online, we've got situations going on outside and inside of us that are outside of the church family. But, as somebody one wise person once said, every family got a story. Can I get amen? And we don't know what to do. How many of you would say, "I got something going on in my life right now, and I'm not certain what step to take. I don't know what to do." Would you raise your hand if you do? Yeah, good. I want to know. I had a few honest people here this morning. And I got to raise my hand too. That's why we have the Bible. Friend, let me tell you, search in the Bible. Because the answer for your situation is in God's holy word. Do you think that God doesn't care for you? Do you think that God doesn't know what you're going through? Do you think that God doesn't love you? Do you think that God doesn't want the best for you? You know He does. So the answer to your situation, the answer to my situation, is in the Word of God. And so as believers, we must search the truth. We must search the Word of God that we might discover more truth. We are scribes. We are students who, like Mary, sit at the feet of Jesus and we listen to His words. So one of the privileges and one of the responsibilities that we have as believers is to be learning God's truth from God's Word. Now let me ask you a question. Nobody raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I want you to think about your past week. How much time did you spend searching for truth that you might know more truth, that you might discover the truth for your situation? We can't stop there either. You see, we must be scribes who seek after truth, but then we must be disciples who do the truth. A more accurate description of verse 52 in Matthew 13 would be, "Therefore, every scribe who becomes a disciple of the kingdom of heaven." That's because a scribe emphasizes learning. Here's another question you can ask yourself. How teachable am I? You know, I've been around the block for a while. This isn't my first rodeo. And in every church, I've heard people say, "Well, I know all I need to know."
And I think, well, man, I must be the dumbest person that ever lived because I've had 8 years of seminary. And I've been reading my Bible, it seems like, for forever. Lord, how come they have everything they need and I'm still trying to figure it out? The reality is they don't have what they need. They're just content where they're at. And what they've done is say, what they're really saying is, I am not teachable. I'm no longer teachable. Let me ask you a question. Are you teachable? And you're not going to answer to me. You're going to answer to God. That's the great thing about preaching. You don't answer to the pastor. You answer to a higher authority. Amen? And God already knows the answer. He knows whether you've shut him out or whether you got an open ear. But we're not only to learn the truth, we're also to do the truth. Because you know what the Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, I've said this enough around here. What's the rest of this verse? Deceiving your own selves. Thank you, brother. You see, if all you do is come to church, go to Sunday school, listen, and then walk out and don't do anything with it, you've only deceived yourself. You might feel good about yourself, but you have accomplished absolutely nothing. And so God is simply saying here that another one of our responsibilities is to not only learn the truth, but to do the truth. And how many of you know this? You learn by doing. Someone once asked me, how did you learn to become a horse trainer? How'd that work out? Well, what I did is I just watched what my daddy did. And as my daddy, whatever he did with his hands, I would be behind him pretending to do with my hands. Wherever his feet stepped, that's how I would step. Whatever daddy did, I just mimicked him. And isn't that what the Bible tells us? But be imitators of God as dear what? Children. That's how I learned how to train horses. I just followed my dad. And I learned by mimicking, by doing. Now, daddy could have turned around and he would have said, you need to do such and such. But, you know, sometimes when your daddy talks to you, you just let it go through one ear out the other. It don't make sense in the moment. I don't know. But how many of you know this? You learn by doing. It's not until you do that you really learn. And so, listen, we all know it's hard to keep our lives in balance. We know it. We all know it's easy to deceive ourselves. It's very easy to fall into the trap of learning truth and then not living the truth. It's very easy to get so busy that you stop searching after the truth. The pastor might ask, well, how often do you read the Bible this week? You say, well, I just didn't have the time. I was just too busy. You know? But friends, the point is this. Every scribe must be a disciple and every disciple must be a scribe. And it's the reason Paul wrote, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then our third responsibility is this, we must be stewards who dispense the truth. The scribes, sadly, prevented people from dispensing truth because they preserved the truth. And they did not invest the truth that they knew into the lives of the people they were trying to reach. They had allowed the treasure of God's word to become encrusted by man's traditions. As a result, the seed was not planted so that it could bear fruit. And this resulted in the spiritual gold and silver, if you will, not being invested so that it could pay dividends. And what was true during the time of the scribes has become true in far too many places of the church. Christian people and Christian churches are to be conservative, fundamental, standing on the truth of God's word. But we are not to be preservative.
The steward guards the treasure, but he must also dispense the treasure as it is needed. And every church today has the same issue. Could it be that we have forgotten to dispense the truth because we've not been living the truth and we've not been learning the truth, and the result of the lack of our nation no longer living under the banner of God as Lord is simply because the church has become a preservative instead of being conservative and dispensing truth? Well, that's a sermon for another day, but it's a worthy question to consider. Note what Jesus says. Therefore, every scribe which is instructed under the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new. And what, church? You're to dispense the treasure as it's needed. That's what the church is to do. Because new principles and new insights are based on old truth. When you hear somebody say, give me some of that old time religion, you know that's a very important statement. We need some old time religion in our world today. Amen. We need the Bible. We need Jesus. We need the Word of God. We need truth. But we also got to remember that we need also the new. Because new principles and new insights are based on old truths. And the new cannot contradict the old, because the old comes out of the new. And the Bible says, Leviticus 26:10, and ye shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. And too many today and too many places are trying to teach some new revelation. They say, I got the secret to the Christian life. I've got a new revelation. No, you don't. Friends, the canon of Holy Scripture has been closed. What we have is the revelation of God from Genesis to Revelation. This is what it is, and He is the truth. Amen? But what people are trying to do, if you will, is bring the new without the old, and that's nothing more than mere novelty. And it doesn't last. You know, I think about the church, because I love the church with all my heart and all my soul, because Jesus loves the church. But I think sometimes the church is always trying something new, and it's just nothing more than novelty. Do you realize the church did its most for the world when it looked the least like the world? But today, the church looks too much like the world and not near enough like Jesus. We need both. Jesus said to them, have ye understood all these things? You see, the old does no good unless it is given new applications in our lives today. You and I need to think about that. Because some of us are on up there like me. And some of us are young like Sister Jaden back there. And the truth that I needed in my childhood, she's going to need some new truths because the world has changed. Amen? She's going to need a new application of the old truths. Now, I think sometimes in church life we can become so, I almost don't dare say this, can I? But I'm going to say it with a smile, because somebody once told me if you say it with a smile, you can say anything. Set in our ways. And we forget that the generation that's coming behind us isn't the generation that we grew up in. And they need some new application that's based on old truths. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, have you understood all these things? And then he talks to him about being a householder, where you bring out of your house both old and new.
Well, if our Lord were to look you right in the eye this morning, or if he was to look right in your heart, which he already is, and he was to ask you this question, have you understood all these things? What would you say? How would you respond to Jesus? Are you a scribe who discovers truth? Are you a disciple who is doing the truth? Are you a steward who is dispensing the truth? Well, Father, we just thank you for your word to us today. Lord, the challenge is mighty. The responsibilities are great. But Lord, we cannot accomplish these, and thankfully you knew that. We can't accomplish them in our own strength. That's why you've given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us into all truth. Lord, I just pray today that if we're of that elderly class and we become a set in our ways, we become a preservative, that you would remind us that we need to let that go. We need not to hang on to the old for fear of the new. We need to dispense both, the old and the new. Father, help us to embrace the changes that are so necessary in the days in which we're living, because the changes come right from your word. Lord, in your word, we have both the old and the new. And Lord, we need to give new applications today for the issues that we are facing in our day that are based on the old truths that are right here in the word of God. Lord, we need some old truths to guide us in these days, that we might give new insight and new application for the young who are desperately seeking for the truth. They need to see something that is real. They need to see something that is tangible. They need to see something that they can hang on to and get their feet on that is solid and sure. And Lord, the only thing that's sure in this world is the Word of God. So Father, I just pray for myself. I pray for this congregation, that if we know Christ as our Savior, that we would be the example that you have called us to be. That we would be a rock. That we would not be a weak link. But Father, that we would be able to point the young to the Word of God, to the truth that they might need from the experiences that we have had. Lord, we are old and they are young. But Lord, the new comes from out of the old. Help us to remember these things. Lord, if there's someone here today who's not yet saved, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, I pray that your Spirit has come upon them, that you've convinced their mind that if the church was to be raptured today, they would be left behind. And Lord, that they would see their need for a Savior, that they might come to know Jesus Christ in all His living glory. And Lord, we just want to say thank you to you this morning. Lord, thank you for one another. Thank you for those you've brought to your house this morning. Lord, when we leave here, may we say thank you to the one that we're walking out with this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for bringing joy to my heart. Thank you for encouraging me. But Lord, we say thank you to you because you deserve it all. All of our thanks, Lord, you deserve. And I pray we'll give it by the way we treat one another. Lord, help us to be a church that can be a blessing to others and not a hindrance. Lord, guide us and direct us. In Christ's name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, would you come? As we sing our invitational song, Brother James and Sister Tammy are going to start to play and sing. And as you stand to your feet, if God has spoken to you this morning, what is God asking of you? What do you need to do? What decision would God have you make this morning? As we sing, you come. Brother James. God is a great God. Let me invite you back tonight as we continue in our series of sermons from Revelation.